I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday afternoon. About to go on vacation, actually. But a lot of Americans don't use the vacation that they have coming. And then there are Americans who don't get enough vacation or any vacation, really. We're going to talk about all of that this hour with a person who works very closely with Project Time Off. Katie Dennis is with us, and she's responsible for the day-to-day management of Project Time Off. She is also responsible for taking all of her vacation time and encouraging her team to do the same. She says it is her favorite part of her job. Vacation isn't dead yet, their latest report shows, but Project Time Off's latest report shows the state of American vacation 2016 reveals that it's not faring very well. Americans have a lot of vacation time that is left over from the year before. Workers deny themselves vacation for what reasons? We'll find out during the course of this hour. It is true, though, that 95% of American workers still strongly believe that vacation time is important. We're welcoming phone calls for Katie. Our number is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter, and that is @KDunnShow. Katie, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. Good to talk to you.
Have you had your vacation this summer?
I have, yes. I actually just got back from Northern Michigan. It was lovely. I got to see my best friend get married, and we took a few extra days to go explore because my husband had never been up there before.
All right. Well, you live what you preach, and that's a good thing.
Yes, I do.
So let's look at the statistics on this. The number of people who don't use their vacation time, it is very, very large, isn't it?
It's very large. It's a majority of Americans are leaving time on the table. And I think what's so funny about that, as you mentioned in the intro, that an overwhelming majority of people say this time is really important to me, but then over half of us are leaving that time unused. So there's kind of this divide between that doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think what we're seeing is it's not that people are lying and, you know, they're saying it's important to them, but they're not, but it's not actually important to them. It's that all the pressures of the workplace are just making it that much harder. So, you know, that important starts to get trumped by that day-to-day, you know, work is always there, it's in your hand, it's a constant thing, and it's very easy for vacation to become kind of an innocent bystander of our work culture.
Mm-hmm. A third, you write in your latest report, of those unused days are forfeited. Most people can't, well, a number of people can't roll over their vacations.
Right. So those are the days that you can't roll over, you can't bank, you can't be paid out for. You're working as a de facto volunteer for your employer. And I think volunteering is great, but volunteer for a charity, not your boss, right? So I think that's something that we're seeing. You know, it's an average of 2 days per worker. So if nothing else, take those 2 days. Don't forfeit them this year.
Mm-hmm. Americans left 658 days of vacation time on the table last year. You compare this to years the same age as Homo erectus.
Yes, 658 million days does translate to 1.8 million years.
Wow.
And just for kicks, while I was writing this report, I Googled what 1.8 million years ago was going on, and that was literally the era of Homo erectus. So it was before humans, and that's just in a single year of our unused vacation time. So it's a really massive number.
Mm-hmm. What is important about vacation?
So I think, you know, personally, it all kind of makes sense to us, right? We know we're going to be healthier and happier. And I think, you know, that's something that is pretty self-evident to people. It's good for families. It's good for your friendships. But what I think sometimes we lose sight of is the fact that when we take our time off, we're actually better employees for the companies that we're sometimes so worried about leaving. So, you know, we're more productive. We're more engaged. We're a better teammate. And this is something that really comes through when we've done survey work with managers. The biggest thing to them is having a very positive team environment. And I think we've all worked with that person that needs a break, right? And you're walking on eggshells. It's really, you know, it's not conducive to a productive work environment. So I think something that really comes through is when you had a chance to take that break, you really are more refreshed and you're better. You are the best version of the person that your company hired.
So you're suggesting that managers should make sure that their employees take their time off.
Absolutely. And I think they'll reap the benefits immediately. I mean, not only is it good for the individual, but it's a great way to say, hey, you know, we value you as an employee and as a whole person. It's not just what you bring in to this office every day. It's what you have outside of this that makes you, you know, certainly more creative and innovative. I think we live in an innovation economy. We're so dependent on our ideas to drive America forward. So I think to get some of those new ideas, it's great to take that break, because if you do the same thing day after day after day, you might have a breakthrough. But if you kind of change it up and change your perspective a little, you're bound to get some new ideas. One of our favorite examples is Hamilton, the musical that no one can get tickets to. That was an idea that came up while he was on vacation.
Right.
That's where that all stemmed from. So what a fantastic example of how creativity is critical on vacation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Dropbox, Instagram, both of those companies were products of vacation thinking. So
really?
You really can shake things up a little bit just by taking a little bit of time off and seeing things a little bit differently. You're probably going to come back with some new ideas, which is really critical for our success.
We hear about the Europeans who essentially take off the month of August. It's very hard to find places up and running at full steam because so much of the continent takes time off. You know, they go on vacation. Why do they do that and we don't?
So we're a very unique animal in this, and other countries do not understand our way of working and, you know, our lack of vacation. And I feel like sometimes when I talk about, you know, this initiative and trying to get people to take more time off, people say, oh, well, we're never going to be France. But we don't even need to be France. We could be the U.S. just 15 years ago. This has all happened in a relatively short time frame. And there's this notion that this has always been part of the American work ethic, and this is just how we are. We have always had a strong work ethic as a country that has not changed. But what has changed is our work ethic somewhere along the line seems to have transformed into a work martyrdom. So really what we've seen is just in the last 15 years, we've had a massive decline in vacation usage. From the 70s to 2000, we were alarmingly consistent. We took about 20.3 days on average, and it was very static. But then in 2000, we started plummeting. And just in those 15 years, we've lost a full week of vacation time. So there really has been a sea change, and it's been a relatively recent one. So we don't need to be France. We can just get back to the U.S. 15 years ago.
So why did we change 15 years ago?
So that's one of the things that we looked at in our most recent study, because that's, you know, the obvious question, what happened? And we first looked at economic indicators because we figured that that's probably, you know, driving some of this. And actually what we found is there's no correlation. We looked at consumer confidence, we looked at unemployment, and we kind of set them against the trend line of vacation usage. And there isn't a correlation there. I mean, certainly, you know, the recession and its aftermath didn't help anything, but it wasn't really the driving force. But when you look at our rates of internet adoption and our connectivity, as connectivity goes up, vacation usage goes down. We've got a brave new world when it comes to the way that we work. And I think what we're realizing is that's brought a lot of really wonderful things. You know, you really can't, you can work anywhere. You can do calls like this. There's a million things that are wonderful about it. However, it does mean that we have to be intentional about our time. I hear people say all the time, oh, well, if I can find the time, you're not going to find time. The era of finding time is over. You have to make time and be intentional about it. And I think the benefits of it are really amazing, because the people who plan out their time for the year at the beginning of the year, we asked, you know, do you do this? Less than half of Americans do this. But the ones who do were happier in 9 out of 9 categories that we measure, which includes professional success and personal financial situation. So two of the things that I think give people the most anxiety about taking time off, the people who plan it out, they're more likely to take it and they're happier overall.
It is true, when you look at the course of your life, you can remember, you don't remember all the times you worked, you remember some things about working as well, but we all remember our vacations, don't we? When we were little, we remember where we went and who we were with and the family time that we had. I certainly remember many of those, you know, just going to a little cabin somewhere in Wisconsin from Illinois. They were memorable times, and when I grew up and had a family of my own, those were memorable times as well. They're a part of your memory. They're a part of making a family feel good about being in the family and make you feel good about nature and all of that. You remember those years, those weeks.
Yeah,
really.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we wanted to do, because, you know, I think we all have those experiences that we remember, and they do stick out. They are really potent memories. So we went and asked kids 8 to 14 about their experiences and what they view their parents' work-life habits as. And this was actually my favorite study we've ever done, because I like to say that if you ask an adult some of the questions about happiness or health, you know, people tend to overestimate their happiness or overestimate their health. You know, they work out 6 times a week and their marriage is perfect and things like that. You get some outliers sometimes in survey work, but kids are brutally honest. So I think it's the most honest work we've ever done. When you ask them what they think, they will tell you. And it was, first of all, the focus groups were fascinating and, you know, could probably be an episode of, you know, Kids Say the Darndest Things or right. whatever. But one of the things that really came through strongly is that it doesn't have to be a really big exotic trip. That actually doesn't matter to kids. What we saw come through was this idea of like, you know, oh, the most memorable time with my parent was when we went camping or when my mom went on my school field trip or, you know, it's little stuff. It doesn't have to be a big deal. There was one 12-year-old girl in Arizona who said, my dad and I went to Target and we bought a slip and slide and we set it up in the backyard. So I think there's so many different things you can do that can just be a relatively simple offering. You don't necessarily have to take 2 weeks off, or you don't have to necessarily do the big Disney trip, although we did see a lot of that come through, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I think that's it really does matter to kids. And one of the things we found is we interviewed family therapists on the results so that we had a little bit more context. And what they were saying is, with kids, you can't force a relationship. You can't say, okay, we're going to have 20 minutes of bonding now, or, you know, we're driving from school to soccer, and let's talk about this. You really need that quantity of time for the quality relationship to emerge. And that was particularly important with teens who want their parents as deeply involved as kids that were other ages, but they're less likely to articulate it. So that quantity of time does make a difference, and the easiest way to do it is to take time off to be with your family.
Mm-hmm. You've put together percentages of the reasons why time is left on the table. And I think there are 6 of these. Can you talk about why people don't take their vacation time and what the percentages are? This is the main reason. This is another reason, not as strong, perhaps.
Sure. So the biggest reason is this fear that they're going to return to a mountain of work. And I think we can all identify with that. You know, most of us have smartphones in our hands now. You can see the email piling up while you're gone, and it can create anxiety. That's perfectly understandable. And, you know, there's some companies that are doing some innovative things to diminish that. One of my favorites is a lot of companies do, and this is obviously not an option for everyone, but it's a good idea if it is workable for you. TED, LinkedIn, I actually heard today that Boeing does it as well. They do a shutdown. So they will close the office, full stop. So you can actually take that time and worry a little bit less about the email traffic you're getting, because I think we can all identify with a lot of our email traffic can be internal, and the amount that slows it when everyone is kind of taking a break together. You kind of get this phenomenon between the week of Christmas and New Year's.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very interesting concept. I mean, it doesn't work for everyone, but I think there's so many different innovative solutions out there. Huffington Post has something they call their email detox program. So if you're an employee of the Huffington Post, you can elect to participate in a program that well, it's like an out-of-office on steroids, basically. So if you send an email to a Huffington Post employee who's in this program, you'll get a kickback that instead of the traditional out-of-office says, thank you very much for your message, it's been deleted. If you need something, reach out to this person. Otherwise, you know, circle back with me on this date. And a lot of people gasp in horror at this concept, like, how could I possibly do that? Which I understand. I think it does create anxiety in the sense that you won't know. But at the same time, when you think about how much time you can spend clearing out your inbox when you return, it actually makes you more productive so you can hit the ground running. The cream rises to the top, and some of the stuff that's been solved while you were out, you don't need to worry about it. So I think it's actually a very interesting idea. There's all sorts of things that companies are starting to do, and we're seeing more and more of this. There's not a one-size-fits-all approach, but it's definitely worth looking into what would help make people feel better about this, because the benefits to the company are huge.
Mm-hmm.
We also see some of these like post-recessionary fears, and we did see a slight lessening of these in our most recent survey,
well, that's
which is
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Not a huge swing, but like 5%, you know, in all of them, which I think is very promising. You know, hopefully people are feeling a little bit better and a little bit more confident. But this idea that, you know, no one else can do the job, or I want to show complete dedication, or I don't want to be seen as replaceable, some of that seems to be waning a little bit, which is great. But, you know, I think we do still have a little bit of fear, and that's something that, you know, realizing that you're actually going to be a more valuable employee to your company by taking your time off is a big part of that. And we did look at who got bonuses in the last 3 years and who didn't. And what we found is people who take more time off, the 11 or more days, they're actually more likely to get a bonus than people who take 10 or fewer. And there were a few different instances like that, you know, you're not necessarily going to do yourself any favors in terms of getting ahead by skipping out on your vacation. It might not be noticed the same way you think it's noticed.
Let's go to some phone calls. We're talking about vacation days. Think, if you will, about the number of days that you have for vacation. Do you use your vacation? And do you think that it's important in your life? What do vacations do for you? Do you think that we all need to do vacations? So those of you who don't get vacations at work, I'm sure are trying to push for that as well, because surely everybody should have a vacation. If you don't use your vacation, what are the reasons that you don't use vacation? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook page. We're getting comments there already. Is the Kathleen Dunn Show. And let's start our calls with Rich in Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Kathleen. My parents owned a small resort and bar in northern Wisconsin, so we serve tourists for at least a quarter of the year, typically. And there used to be labor unions that would negotiate vacation time off and wage scales that actually allowed people to enjoy their vacations. As kids, we could see as we aged how the vacation industry was changing in terms of certain socioeconomic sectors of people found it more and more difficult to take vacations, partly because they were negotiating independently, not collectively, for the right to a vacation, and also their wages were stagnating or dropping.
Katie, what do you say?
I'm not super familiar with collective bargaining on the part of vacation, but I will say, you know, regardless of what your financial situation is, I think there's usually a way that you can take advantage of the time you have. And I think what we're seeing is people are not taking advantage of the time that they do have. So we're only talking about what they currently get, and we're still seeing that over half of Americans are not taking all that time. So, you know, I think there's probably labor unions that have bargained for those days, and we're actually still not taking advantage of them. So I think that's it's part of your benefits package. It's part of your compensation. But we don't view it the same way that we would, you know, a health care plan or a 401k plan, but right. It really is. And it does do quite a bit for your wellness and your ability to be good for your job. So I think regardless of your, you know, what kind of industry you work in or what your income is, there's a lot of different things you can do. Some of them have minimal to very little, you know, cost. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to be that big trip. It can be the camping trip. It can be something where you just get in the car. You can go explore your own city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we don't always do that. You know, right out the, I live in D.C., and half the time the museums, I don't go to them until someone comes into town. So I think that's something that I could go check out an exhibit, and I don't necessarily, because I'm not necessarily thinking about it, but I think there's a lot of different things you can do that are very simple and very easy to make sure that we take the time we have.
It would be an interesting thing for you to look at, just as part of the information on vacations, if collective bargaining results in, if that's one of the issues that workers who are in unions are concerned about, if vacation time is something that is bargained for. It's interesting what Rich said about northern Wisconsin, because that's where we went, southern Wisconsin at first, and then we got a little older, northern Wisconsin, and we get, you know, modest little cabin and go fishing and swimming and that kind of thing, and it was never real expensive to be able to do that. My parents weren't poor, but, you know, they weren't rich, so that would be our summer vacation. Now I've noticed in some places in northern Wisconsin, they're trying to recreate the experience that I had when I was a kid, and oh my gosh, those vacations are much more expensive than they used to be to create the sense of being in the North Woods. It's a whole different environment. I think vacations, and I'm glad that you've stressed, Katie, that you can do things in your backyard or go camping or something, because going on vacation can be expensive.
Mm-hmm. No, it absolutely can. And, you know, but taking time off doesn't have to be financially
right.
prohibitive. And there's so many different things you can do. And I think it's important, not necessarily what you do, but that you do something.
Right. Rich, thanks for your call. We'll take more in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go next to Mark in Appleton. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wonder whether this connects just to a broader idea that people are generally working more. I mean, the idea of a 40-hour work week in this country has certainly is disappeared or disappearing. And things just are generally out of balance. I lived in Europe for a long time, and people got 25, 30 days of vacation. I mean, it was across the board. It was mandated by law. That certainly doesn't exist here. But just the idea of the 40-hour work week, of people being expected to work nights, being expected to work weekends, and then, of course, computers and email instead of freeing us means that we can work all the time. You know, I mean, you can look at your iPhone and
right.
you can go to work.
You sure can. Where did you
right.
live in? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was in Germany and France.
Okay, thank you. You knew where I was going with that question. Katie.
So I think that's absolutely an issue, and I think that is driving a lot of the change in what we've seen in vacation. You know, it's very difficult to, and I think a lot of people don't disconnect even if they are taking time off. So it's become a very different dynamic, and that's, again, where you really do have to make time to take time. It's not going to happen on its own. And, you know, I think sometimes what we, one of the things we found is that people's connection to technology, it's almost a psychological thing where we thrive on this culture of busyness that is absolutely become part of the fabric of this country. It's, you know, how busy you are has something to do with your value. And, you know, I think what we're finding is that's not actually true. It might make you feel like you're more valuable, but in terms of the way you're perceived by company leadership, it might not make much of a difference at all. So, you know, definitely plan that time. We are going to be connected. That's not going to change. That's, you know, that's the new world. So I think what we need to do is be very, very cognizant of the fact that we have to prioritize vacation. It's not going to happen on its own, but the benefits of doing so are massive.
Thanks, Mark, for the call. Gwen in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So I definitely take all the vacation I can, as does my husband. I can't imagine. I see people that don't take their vacation, and I just don't understand that train of thought. But I think what you mentioned before about employers thinking highly of employees who take the time for themselves and the employee satisfaction being higher, I think a whole lot of that is that people who tend to take their vacation have a different perspective on where their job fits into their life. My job is certainly a very important part of my life, but it's not the driving force for my schedule. And I think that just brings, I bring a different perspective when I go to work. When I'm at work, I work. And when I'm not at work, I don't work. And so I think just having that different perspective about my job is a piece of who I am and a piece of my family's life and not the thing that we will fit everything else around just makes me a better employee.
Katie.
I think that's fantastic, and I'm wondering if you're available to be a spokesperson for us. It's a very, very healthy perspective, and I would say that that is unfortunately not really the norm. We do see a lot of this anxiety, and I think what's really great for people who do have that outlook, and like I love my job. I love what I do. I also love my kids, and I also love the time that I have outside of it. So, you know, making sure that we are telling, you know, if we're managers, let's make sure we tell our employees that we do value their time outside of the office as well. And I think this becomes increasingly important with the millennial audience. They are a very different animal, and, you know, I'm kind of preempting our next report, but one of the things that we're looking at is generational differences. And millennials are very, very different in their approach to work. And it's not just this, you know, they're entitled, they're spoiled. I understand that's the popular cultural narrative, but they're different in the sense that they graduated into a very difficult economy, many of them, and, you know, still recovering. They've always had email. They've always been connected, and they don't necessarily see the work as a place. They see it as something that they do. So those boundaries of the office are really fading away. But the boss is a really powerful influencer, no matter what generation you are. And what we found is the boss actually beats out employees' own families. Not by much, just like a point, but the fact that they're even close is right. Something that, you know, really says how important that person is as an influencer. So if you are managing people, you might not be talking about this. Most people aren't. Two-thirds of employees say they don't really hear much of anything outside of the employee manual about vacation. So if you are managing people, have that conversation with your employees. Say, hey, you know, are you taking some time off? I noticed it's been a while. Make sure you do that because, you know, no one's going to do it for you, essentially. So it's a really critical thing and a great way to say, I really value you as an employee and I want you to do this because we want you to be happy and we want you to stay here. You know, this is a huge talent attraction and retention point. So I think being able to emphasize that and inspire confidence in people that it's okay to have a job and have a life and that you're, you know, going to be a better person for it is really, really critical.
Thanks, Gwen, so much for your call. Sue on Facebook writes, after working for a company for many years, accumulating 5 weeks vacation, I was laid off. Some companies still don't give you any time off, including holiday pay, unless you are with the company for over a year. Others have changed to an accumulation of vacation time using the number of days that you work. Companies may let you take time off, but without pay, so you don't take the time off. Maybe age should also be a factor on how much vacation you need. A lot of points there.
I think it often is to a degree in the sense that you tend to gain more seniority and typically, or tenure, and that typically comes with more time. You know, individual policies, obviously, like there's a lot of companies that do use it or lose it. There's a lot of that have moved to that kind of unified PTO bucket where all time is created equal. Sick, vacation, doesn't really matter. You know, we're seeing the unlimited trend is very popular to talk about, and I think this one is a very polarizing topic because, you know, when I talk to people who might be a little bit more senior in their leadership positions, they worry, oh, people would go crazy. They would run roughshod over the policy. But actually, when we talk to most employees, they say, oh, no, I don't want that. I want boundaries. I want to know what's appropriate. So I think it's a very interesting thing to look at it like that. I think most companies have decent intentions when they're creating these policies, particularly with unlimited. I think the idea, you know, kind of going back to the previous question is, you know, they want to treat you like an adult. The workplace is not a physical space the same way that it used to be. So I think a lot of times people say, well, you know, we might expect you to be able to respond at 8 p.m. or we might expect, you know, we know that you're constantly working sometimes. So we want you to be treated like an adult. You can take vacation when you feel like you need to take vacation. I think that's the intent of a lot of the policies. However, it often doesn't go beyond that rollout. It's just, okay, you know, here we're going to do this. And then it kind of falls flat. And people tend to take either the same amount or less than they had under previous structures. And I think Kickstarter is an interesting example. They had a set number of days, then they went to unlimited vacation, and they found that employees were taking less time, and they were like, well, this isn't the point of that. We thought right. It would be a good thing. We thought people would like it. So they went back to the set number of days because they wanted to make sure people were actually taking the time. So I think there's a lot of different interesting policy things, and the way that they resonate with employees can sometimes be a little different than you expect. So it really is important to communicate it and not just, you know, not just put it in that manual, but communicate it throughout the year.
Does Project Time Off have a recommendation as to how much vacation time we should all get per year?
No, we don't have a specific recommendation. I mean, I think we know that people aren't even using what they do have, so we're pretty focused on getting people to use what they do have as opposed to the right number. Every company is different. Again, there is no one-size-fits-all approach. It really depends on what's going to work best for the individual company. But I think that there are some best practices. And generally, communicating is the biggest thing that you can make a change in right away. You know, it doesn't have to cost anything. I think it's actually kind of funny when we talk to companies, and we do, you know, a lot of discussions with different companies about their policies. And one of the things that we found is that a lot of the time, managers have no idea what their employees have. Employees themselves, sometimes it can be a very obtuse thing. You know, it's on your pay stub, but you have to have a degree in mathematics to calculate it. And, you know, there's all sorts of ways that it's a little bit hard to find sometimes. So particularly if you are a manager of someone, having a good sense of how much time they have and if they need to be encouraged or if there's something that, you know, you need to be aware of to say, hey, it's been a really long time since you've taken a day off. And I think, you know, you should probably plan something. It'd be good, you know, go with your family, go up to, you know, northern Wisconsin and see the woods for a little bit, do something. I think that's definitely a really easy way of making a quick improvement and taking it a little bit beyond the paper it's printed on. Because I think when you just have the paper it's printed on, it's worth exactly that.
Jocelyn in Sheboygan Falls. Hi.
Hi. I just have a couple of anecdotes. I mean, we live in a country that you work or you live, I got it backwards now, where you live to work. And in Europe, at least in France and Germany and maybe a couple other, maybe England and the Netherlands, they do respect that, the vacation time. And their attitude is to, you know, that their life, if they're asked, what do you do? They don't say what job they do. They say what they enjoy doing on vacations or their hobbies or something. So I think that's a huge difference. Because people really aren't living, in my opinion. It's all you do is worry about work, and now with all this email and all that, you never really leave. I think that would drive me crazy. I'm retired, so I don't have to live like that, but I feel sorry for a lot of people that do.
Katie?
It's pretty funny, actually, the the idea that you lead with this, what do you do? I mean, I live in D.C., which is the capital of asking what you do before you ask anything else about the person. But it's true. I mean, we do have a very live-to-work philosophy as opposed to work-to-live. And it's we've asked people, are you a live-to-work or work-to-live person? And again, you see this disparity. 4 in 5 people say, oh, I work to live. And, you know, that's not necessarily the way that we actually go about our days. But, you know, we always mention Europe as a comparison, and I guess I shouldn't even say comparison, I should say contrast. And what we find is there's so much more happiness with their general balance. And happiness is a huge thing. The business of happiness is a major, major issue for companies. Happiness means engagement. Happiness means retention. Happiness is a huge thing when it comes to your ability to succeed. A happy employee is an employee who is actually going to want to stay there, that's going to value what they're contributing at work. I mean, the benefits are massive. And I think one of the things that we looked at is we asked employees, you know, the ones who are happy with their job, the ones who are happy with their company. The happiness with job and company goes up substantially if you feel you've got support from your boss when it comes to taking vacation. And it goes from, you know, 5% of people say not at all happy, and it goes way up to 47% when they say extremely happy when they are supported by their boss. It's a huge bell curve, and it makes a really big difference. So, yeah, I think, you know, we could have a few things to learn from Europe. Maybe not all of the things, but a few things that we can learn from them. And really trying to be these work-to-live people we say we want to be.
Jocelyn, thanks for the call. Sonia in Cudahy, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I just wanted to basically just say that I'm kind of one of those work-to-live people. I'm very lucky to have a job that allows me the flexibility to take vacation, and it's actually had a huge impact on my life as far as, you know, if I look for other jobs or not, one of the things is vacation time. So.
And what do you do with your vacation time, Sonia?
I'm not one person that takes like a big week at a time. I take, you know, long weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Take a Friday off or take a Monday off so I can go places. I travel with my family. My husband's got an amazing work schedule too that he works a 5-week rotation, and he works 2.5 weeks solid, rotating 12-hour shifts. And then he gets off about, you know, for about 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows us to, you know, just jump and do some things. And, you know, recently we were in New York State, upstate New York last weekend, and we're planning a trip to Washington State at the end of August.
Oh,
so
you get around, Sonia.
So, yeah. So it's really nice. And I think it is huge that you have that employer support. Like I said, I work 32 hours a week, you know, and the thought of going back to a 40-hour work week job just kind of is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And is it hard to find the kinds of jobs that will give you the flexibility to do these trips?
It depends. I find that working for smaller businesses allow more flexibility because they do want to retain those employees. So they are allowing for more for the flexibility and allow the hours. I mean, right now I work 32 hours,
mm-hmm.
and there are days that I get off early. Like, for instance, I took my daughter to work this morning,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my boss is fine with me doing that, you know, and I just kind of make up the time I stay a little bit later on Thursdays. So it's really nice to have that employer support and that flexibility. And, yeah, it's not easy to come by because everybody does want you to work a strict 9-to-5
right.
Monday through Friday work schedule. And I'm at this point in life where I want to travel and, you know, I want to do things. I don't like to sit around very often.
Right. Well, good for you. It sounds like a good life, Katie.
Yeah, she sounds really happy.
She does sound happy. She sounds really happy.
Yeah, it's one of those things that sometimes I think the companies can undervalue. When you ask employees what benefits are most important to them, vacation is usually, it's been one, it's most often two, right after health plan. But when you ask company leadership what benefits they think are most important to employees, it often falls to like number 4 or 5, you know, behind 401k. Like health plan, I think, you know, we all understand why that's critical. But vacation time is a really important thing for people. And when they are looking for a job, a good policy on that can make a very big difference. I know that where I work, we have a great incentive and we have a great vacation plan, and it's helped us get on best places to work lists. And when you're on those lists, it certainly gets you that best crop of talent. So when it comes to filling a position, you're going to get the best possible people, and then once you have them, they're going to stay. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Well, you would have to have that kind of policy. It's project time off, right?
yes.
If anybody's going to have it, you are.
Case study. It's great.
right. Let's go to Dennis next in Montello. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
I'm
one of the lucky few that really enjoys my job, but as much as I enjoy my job, I take every vacation day, personal day I have coming to me to because I've earned it, and it just kind of recharges you. And I just find it unbelievable that people do not take vacation.
Do you know people
See,
who don't?
Enjoy your job.
Yeah, and you enjoy it. You probably enjoy it more because you have time off. What do you say when you talk to people who don't take their vacation time?
I ask them why, and they say, well, the number one reason is they can't afford to, because we have a few people who do not take it in the company I work for, and that's the primary reason. They can't afford to, they say.
Hmm.
Well, I think, you know, that's certainly a pressure. And, you know, in the surveys we've done, it's pretty consistently at number three for people. It's a big one. I think about a third of people say that's an issue for them. But, you know, there are ways to navigate around that. There are things that you can do that don't have to be costly and can just be relaxing and, you know, kind of help you de-stress. But I feel like we're seeing lots of people calling in who could be surrogates for this program in the sense that, you know, that might be a big reason why you enjoy your job, because you found a way to like what you do and, you know, at the office and outside of it. And it really does make a difference. And I'm glad to hear people sharing their own stories of that. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much for your call. Our number, by the way, is 800-486-8655. Judith writes on Facebook, vacation time has always been a very big component of collective bargaining. And as for people not using what they have, many people are saving vacation if they can in case of illness and injury, something that needs to be done now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, this also plays into the people who have that kind of unified PTO bucket. You know, there's going to have to be that rainy day section. And some people have that planned for in other ways. But for the people who don't and they have to save time for things, you know, I understand. I had a baby, so I had to put vacation time toward that. I think that there are certainly things like that. And it's not, you know, I don't think we advocate either that people zero out beyond their comfort zone. But I also think that, you know, a lot of the people that we talk to have a significant amount of time available. And it's not simply, you know, okay, I just want to make sure if anything happens, I'm covered. We've talked to people that have years of time banked, which, you know, a lot of companies don't allow for. But, you know, we did a focus group once, and I will never forget this. And I have to, you know, if I had this person's address, I'd follow up with them personally because I was worried about him. But, you know, he had 4 years worth of time.
Oh, my goodness.
His retirement plan. But he looked like he might not make it to retirement. So, you know, there's got to be a balance in there. You have to take the time that you feel is appropriate. You know, you don't have to be pushed out of your comfort zone. But again, we're forfeiting on average 2 days per year. So if nothing else, let's get after that time. You know, if you want to roll stuff over or you've got limits on that, I completely understand. But there's plenty of time out there, it seems like, that we're not taking that is well beyond that.
We're talking about taking your vacation time this hour, and our guest is the director of this interesting program, Project Time Off. We're welcoming phone calls. The project is trying to change our culture so that taking the time off, your vacation time, the personal days that you might have, is considered to be an important thing to do. It's good for you. It's good for your health. It's good for your family. It's good for your business. And looking also at business managers, making sure that their employees do take the time off that's due them. All right, 800-486-8655. More calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And let's go to Junior in Milwaukee. Hi, Junior.
Hello.
Hi.
How's everything going today?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
So, sorry, I wasn't expecting to be the next caller, but I just wanted to ask two things, or to actually really say two things to Katie. First, do you think that the reason why people aren't taking vacation days is because, like me, I work at a job that's it's really only summer. Summer is our busiest time of the year. During the winter, during, you know, October to maybe March, it's completely dead or there's not as much work, so there's layoffs going on and there's just a whole bunch of stuff going around in the cold months that we can't take off vacation days or we don't want to take off vacation days or even if we do, our checks won't look like how they would if we worked all this overtime, because I work 60, 70 hours a week.
Ooh.
The overtime on my check compared to the only 80 hours that I work in 2 weeks is crazy. You know, I know a lot of people that I work with that they tell me that when you start working these hours, you like to have your check look a certain way. So when you see a 40% drop because you, vacation days only pay you the 40 hours, you know, it's kind of crazy when your life is set with the overtime.
Right. Yeah, that's too bad. Nobody should have to work 60 to 70 hours a week in order to earn overtime in order to be able to make ends meet. That's hard. I mean, that's part of the equation here, too, isn't it, Katie, that the economy hasn't fully recovered, so people have to work a whole lot to make ends meet.
Right. And, you know, I think it's a calculation that you have to make, right? You know, if the overtime is something that is the only way that you can, you know, pay the bills that you need to pay, you know, that's a very different situation. But, you know, at the same time, are you going to be more prone to burnout? Are you going to reach a point where you just kind of lose your mind? I was listening to a story of a gentleman who his whole year, like, he knows exactly when his busy times are, and it's at a very large company, and everyone in this company says no one works harder than Bill. Everyone knows who Bill is, every single person, because he is the person who's responsible for a bunch of openings, and all of this kind of comes to a crescendo at the end of December, and Bill basically completely cranks it out at the end of the year. And then what he does, though, as soon as all of his openings are over, he gets on the phone with his family, they do a conference call, they plan out the whole calendar. He takes every single day he's given, and a lot of people were very surprised to find out that Bill, the person who was perceived as the hardest worker in the company, takes every single day he's given. It's the only way that he can maintain that pace. So I think, you know, that's part of the calculation, too. Obviously, you need to be able to pay your bills, and, you know, if overtime is part of your calculation, then you can't really there's only so much you can do. But at the same time, are you going to burn out? Are you going to be able to maintain that pace? And I think that's where vacation can be very valuable, because you don't want to burn out if that's something that you need and you need to come back to. So I think there's a balance here that, you know, it's whatever's right for each person, but it's something to certainly consider.
Thanks, Junior, so much. I hope you're able to take some time off. Those are a lot of hours, sir. Laura in Richland. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I just wanted to throw a little thing out there. A year ago, I quit a job that I was at for 13 years. And in that 13 years, I only twice took a week at a stretch of my 2 weeks. Because
Whoa.
I was constantly told, no, you can't. There's no one to fill in for you. No, you can't. There's no one to fill in for you. And that was continuous. So I had to beg for a little day here and a little day there and an early time there, because they just would flat out tell me, nope, can't, nobody to work for you. So there's just some companies, and there were a lot of employees in this company. And so sometimes there's just that politics going on, and you, in order to keep your job, you just can't make a lot of waves. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
I'm wondering if the turnover was high there, though, too.
No, you did mention they had a lot of people that stayed.
They did have.
Because of the same thing. We needed the job, and it just, you know, but finally you do burn out, and that's why I'm not there anymore. So thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Thanks for the call. Can you negotiate? Should you negotiate vacation time when you start? And should most, I don't even know if most companies have vacation policies. Are you required to give vacation time? Katie.
There's no requirement in every state can have their different labor laws, and some are more unique than others. California is notoriously different. But there's no requirement, you know, I think unlike other countries in the world, we don't have mandate. Even our federal holidays aren't mandated leave days. So we're very, very unique in that sense. I thought one thing she said was very interesting, that no one else could step in and do that work because they didn't have, you know, the people. There's a company called Motley Fool, and they have a very, very different way of looking at this that I think is, you know, a little bit revolutionary, but makes a ton of sense. They have something that they call their Fool's Errand, which is at their, I think it's monthly staff meetings. They say you have to take a week off in the next 2 weeks. They give it away. It's like a drawing, and they give someone $1,000 to facilitate their time off, which is amazing. But the purpose of doing this, they want it to be a short notice thing so that they're kind of pulled out of the equation quickly. They want to make sure their employees are cross-trained so that way way they can't actually take that time off. And also, if they have someone and they realize that, like, while they're out, something can't be done, they consider that a single point of failure for their company, which is a very, very interesting way of looking at it, because really, you don't want to have something that you're completely reliant on somebody. It doesn't take away the value of that person, but the ability for other people to step in and in some cases grow their own skill set and step up. I was just out for 4 months for maternity leave, and I'm on a very small team of 5 people, and I was like, well, we'll see. You know, I can be a little bit more plugged in or something like that. And then I had a baby with colic and acid reflux and all sorts of stuff, and it just wasn't possible.
Right.
So it was actually amazing to me to watch just, and, you know, we obviously talk about these issues every day, but seeing how well my team was able to step up and what they were able to accomplish and grow into while I was out, it was amazing and really gratifying, and I think elevated our program because of it. And not, it didn't diminish my ability to do my job when I returned. It was more so that I thought, oh, wow, we can do all these new things now. So there's a lot of value in seeing what people can do when they're given an opportunity.
Laura, thanks very much for your call. Colin on the road. Hi.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Good. Are you on vacation?
I am coming back. My father and I did a 8-state, 7-day, 5-baseball game baseball tour.
Oh, love it.
Minneapolis, Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Chicago.
Oh, Colin, great.
Yes, and I work for an employer who very much values vacation time. I thank him for it. But one of the biggest things about this is it was effort, planning this, organizing it, making sure to get the time off, asking for the time off, and coordinating that, and budgeting of saying, you know, I'm going to avoid certain immediate pleasures or conveniences to make sure that I can have these more meaningful experiences. And when you start to do that, you begin to understand that the fun that requires some effort is so much more rewarding. And when I look at, I do not have children. My brother has 4 kids. So doing something like this with him and his children would be very much cost prohibitive, especially when they're saying, okay, right, you know, we're not taking big vacations, but you guys are in sports all the time. We go to movies, you know, we're renting Netflix or, you know, some Amazon tonight, or this is what you're doing, that they have good lives and they have fun lives, but we don't necessarily actually have a society set up where you sit here and put in the effort to have that experience. And people don't fully appreciate the more simple stay-at-home vacation. My wife loves both types, and she makes sure to coordinate that she takes a away vacation and a staycation. And she works for a strong nonprofit that after you've been there for 7 years, they say you need to turn in your phone, your computer, and take a 6-week refresh.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I like
thank you. That's what I have to say.
Thanks, Colin. Sounds like a great vacation, traveling to all those baseball games.
Glad
and
to
parks.
Hear you. Glad to hear you went to Cincinnati. I'm a native Cincinnatian, so it's always nice to hear. You know what? I'm 1 of 5 kids, and I completely understand that, you know, money can be tight. We did a ton of camping when I was a kid. That was really the way that we went around it, because you can get a site for a night, and it's not really that much. So we did a lot of that growing up, and one of the places we went the most often was, I think, 35 minutes up the road. It wasn't a big ordeal, but yeah, and that's a great way to kind of do some of that bonding. The trip you just did with your dad, that's awesome. I mean, that you can't really replace that. The time it took to plan it, what's great about planning is not only are planners happier, and I know we've already mentioned that, but you also get some health benefits in looking forward to something. You know, there's a lot that you can do just by saying, oh, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm excited about it. There's the working to that, and you're more productive before you leave, knowing that you're going to be out and knowing that you're working against something that's exciting and it's fun. There's a lot to it, and it goes well beyond just the time that you spend planning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your call, Colin. And we have time for maybe one more call or so. 800-486-8655. Our lines have been crowded. If you'd like to chime in right now, feel free to do so. The study shows, and I'm wondering how much of a change this was, Katie, that things were a little worse a couple years ago, weren't they, in terms of vacation time that we took? Things are getting a wee bit better now?
It's a little bit of a tricky situation in the sense that, like, yes, we've popped up a little bit in terms of vacation usage, but we're also getting a little bit more time. So we're using about 0.2 days more than we were last year, but we're also getting a full day more in terms of what people were reporting. And that's not just our numbers. That's also Bureau of Labor Statistics. So it's very comprehensive in that regard. We're seeing a lot of that pop up. I think it's mostly employers that are going to different structures. So if they're, you know, doing the unified PTO bucket, if they're doing away with sick days or something like that, you usually end up with more days total, and we would interpret that as vacation. So I think that's a part of it. So it's one of those, yes, we're using a little bit more, but we're also getting more, so the share is lower. It's one of those tricky, wonky number things, but yeah, cautiously optimistic that perhaps it's the beginning of a larger trend.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for being with us.
Of course. Thank you very much for having me. Great questions today.
Katie Dennis, and Katie is with Project Time Off. Thanks very much to Scotty Myers for producing this hour, and thanks to Carrie Salinas for on-air production here in Milwaukee. Just a reminder that tonight we are going to be presenting the Republican National Convention, the last night. The nominee, Donald Trump, will speak tonight, among others, and that starts at 7 o'clock, collaboration with PBS and NPR. So the coverage at 7 tonight. And I am going on vacation. Oh, yeah. So I won't be here next week. I'm sorry to miss the Democratic National Convention, but at least on Monday, Judith Sears-Poussant will be here to talk about the opening of the convention. Thanks very much for listening.